Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Got a great show planned for you today. So here's my question to get this conversation started, and I want you to think deeply about this. Now, I don't want to surface yes from you. I want you to think deeply. Do you consider yourself a Christ follower? Do you consider yourself a Christ follower? And if so, where do you sense he's leading you these days? What's he saying when he says, come with me? Where is that? And what's he inspiring you to believe him for? Well, my guest today writes this. Imagine that Jesus walks up to you right now and asks you to follow him. He doesn't tell you where, and he doesn't even tell you what it will entail. He just asks you to come. When the original disciples said yes, they had no idea what that meant, only that Jesus was there to walk beside them. Well, today that same invitation echoes across history, beckoning you to an adventure of unexpected destinations, to follow the one who promises to delight, surprise, and bring you deeper than you ever thought possible. Well, my guest today is my friend Suzanne Eller. That's her author name. I know her as Susie Eller. We've known her for many, many years. We've done a number of events together. I've always loved her heart. We're celebrating her new devotional. It's titled Come With Me, A Year-Long Adventure to Following Jesus by Bethany House. Gorgeous hardcover devotional book. We've got 3 copies, and if you want to get in on the drawing, you know what to do. But I'll tell you anyway, email me, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put come with me or devotional in the subject line, and don't forget that mailing address. A couple quick announcements. We are very much into prayer here at Faith Radio, and we'd love for you to join us on our Faith Radio prayer team. If you are, you know, along with us, want to intercede to see God move in our day, and we believe that the fervent prayer of the righteous accomplishes great and powerful things. If you want to join the prayer team, all you have to do is sign up on our website, myfaithradio.com/prayer. You receive a weekly prayer email just to give some direction about how to pray for your city, your leaders, for marriages, for prodigals, that kind of a thing. And also, if you've not downloaded our Faith Radio app, it is free, and I hope you'll do that, especially if you're traveling. You can find it in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. It's fantastic, and that way you never have to miss a show. You can catch it live or catch the podcast after the fact. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Suzanne Eller is Proverbs 31 Ministries author and speaker. She's ministered to groups of all sizes across the globe and has been featured on programs including Harvest Show, Midday Connection, Focus on the Family, and Aspiring Women, and this one as well. Susie, so good to have you back on the show. God bless you, dear sister.
Susie, I'm so excited to be with you today.
Looking forward to this conversation. And we start every single day talking scripture. And I'm wondering if you've got either a life verse or one you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us.
Oh, I have one I've been stewing on, and that is, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And that's Matthew 6:33.
Talk about that verse.
Oh, you know, when I look at that verse, and it's where I want to begin, I want him to be first. And that means that in the midst of that argument, in the midst of that giant step of faith, in the midst of that walking outside my comfort zone, I want to look to him first and get in rhythm with him, which makes that second part of that, to live and live righteously. If we're living in rhythm with him, if he is first, if we're listening for his voice, then we are in that place of living righteously. And then he gives us everything we need, not necessarily what we want, but he, above all else, as a good father, knows what we need.
Amen. Well, this devotional is a spinoff of the actual book, Come With Me, that you wrote, but you actually didn't set out to write this book. You were in a season in life where ministry and relationship, as you wrote, got so entangled, you just wanted a fresh encounter with God. So you were seeking God for him. Take us back to that place, what you were feeling like, and what happened.
Sure. Susie, I don't know if others, if God gets their attention the same way, but mine is in the middle of the night. And I don't know if that's because that's where he knows he has 100% of my attention, but I was wrestling with God, and it was the middle of the night. And faith had gotten to where it felt complicated. And it's not that I didn't love the Lord. My goodness, I loved him with every fiber of my being. But whether it was my expectations or the expectations of others, or even the fact that, you know, faith just felt complicated in our culture and our world, I just was crying out for him for more. And I want to clarify that, not more stuff, because we can drown in stuff and be completely empty, and not more favor, because when Jesus walked to the cross, that's all the favor I ever need. I actually wanted less of everything that looked like faith and more of him. And so that next morning when I woke up, I had this decision, this determination to walk into the Gospels and read them as if I had never, as if I had never known Jesus at all, to listen to his voice, to watch his example, and to kind of sit on the edge of this, like almost as if I were a 13th disciple, and then ask the Lord, Lord, what are you teaching them? Because I'm a modern-day disciple, and how can I fall in love with this beautiful invitation to come with me all over again and then live it?
What happened in you as you went on that journey? What did you find?
So much. Well, the first thing is I thought it would be like 2 weeks. I spent 2 years in the book of Luke. And there were days that I would sit and I would watch and listen to Jesus and then turn around and ask the Lord, you know, Lord, how do I live this in my relationship? Lord, if you're telling the disciples this, for example, when he was talking to Philip and this crowd of thousands is out there and all they have is a meager lunch. And Philip says, Lord, what are we going to do? And Jesus looked at Philip and said, Philip, you feed them. It was moments like that when I realized that maybe as I was going through a battle where my own daughter had cancer, or where we were in a position that it seemed like there was not enough faith or not enough courage, that the Lord would look at me and it's almost as if to say, we've got this, Suze, we've got this. You know, you may not have enough, but I know the need, and I can take the little that you give me. It might look like a meager lunch, but I can take that and work with it. So just moments like that where I began to understand that this was not just a really good story. This was real, and it's intended not just for the pages of our Bible, but the pages of our life. And so that began to unfold on me. And instead of saying to people, or even to myself, when I felt the Lord leading me, instead of saying, I'm going to weigh this out or I'm going to get counsel, I began to understand that if it was the Lord leading, it was my privilege to surrender to that and say yes.
Wow. Well, you've had quite a year, Susie, and here in the midst of writing these and even after you release them, if you don't mind, as much as you're able, share about some of the ups and downs that you've walked through and how Jesus met you there.
Well, Susie, you and I know each other well, and it appears that the enemy is swinging loudly at everything that I hold dear. We went through a battle with my beautiful daughter. We found out she had cancer in the midst of writing this and releasing it. And then shortly after that, I went for just a casual checkup and found out that I had melanoma on my shoulder. And while they were checking that, they found something else on my face. And so we've been in a situation where we're battling this word cancer. We are on the other side of that. But I remember at one point, Susie, and I'm a 25-year breast cancer survivor, so it was really a different place walking through this with my daughter. But I remember looking at the enemy and not seeing him face to face, of course, but just spiritually thinking, you have no new tricks. You keep using the same old tricks, and you're swinging wildly at myself and at everything I hold dear. But every time you have done this, the Lord uses that in such a beautiful way to show who he is in the midst of it. And don't you understand that the harder you swing, the more glory that God gets?
Yeah.
And, you know, so it has been a season of battle. But even in this, and I think about Jesus walking into the wilderness in Luke chapter 4, and it describes him. He's led into the wilderness, into a place of bleak and darkness. And yet it says he was overflowing in the power of the Holy Spirit as he walked in. But it doesn't end there, because he emerged hungry and battered and bruised in his physical body. But he left the wilderness overflowing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And if that's available to us as believers, I want every drop of it. Because sometimes we find ourselves in the wilderness, that we're led in knowing who he is, and we walk out knowing who we are.
Mm. Someone need to hear that today, and the idea that when we're in the wilderness, our flesh does have to die. We do get battered, and yet that's a place, I think, what we tell ourselves in that place, Susie, what we say to ourselves about who God is really, really does matter, because in those places, you can get offended with God. You can shake your fist at God, when, as you said, you know, we need to be shaking our fist at that devil instead. But somehow, in every trial we go through, when we lean in and surrender to God and stand up to the devil, we come out with, I think, a stronger anointing on our lives.
I absolutely believe that. And I also believe we do come out scarred. And I have a fresh scar from surgery from 2 weeks ago from these battles. But his scars are greater.
Yeah.
His scars cover us. And I think it's okay to say, this is hard. You know, do anything you want to me, but when the attack was against my daughter, I mean, that pierces everything within my heart. Yeah. I can't fix it. I can't make it better. And yet, again, just came to that point where I thought, you know what, Lord, I dedicated this child to you when she was a little girl. And I offer her up to you again to understand I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight in prayer. I'm going to fight in every way I know. And we have all walked out of that wilderness a little bruised, a little battered. But again, knowing the truth of who we are.
Beautiful. Talking to Susie Eller today. Her devotional that we're celebrating is Come With Me. It's a year-long adventure in following Jesus. Beautiful hardcover book by Bethany House. Email if you want in on the drawing, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put Come With Me or Follow Me in the subject line. Don't forget the mailing address. And we will be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I always love to join you every day to encourage you in your faith life, help you walk intimately with the Lord, abide in that vine, bear much fruit, trust him in the hard times. So glad to do this journey with you. My friend Susie Eller joins me. And if you know, if you've read her books, you know her as Suzanne Eller. But she's written a gorgeous book, Come With Me. It's a devotional. It's a year-long adventure in following Jesus. We've got several copies to get into your hands. If you want to enter the drawing, you do it this way. Just email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Just a gorgeous book, Susie, and the pages are beautiful. The readings are just deep. There's no fluff about you, which I love.
Uh-huh.
And this one's titled Hungry, and you reference the passage from Luke 4, verse 3. The devil said to Jesus, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Talk about just that whole idea, because one of the side notes you write here is, for us, when tempted, remind the enemy and yourself that you're incredibly loved and made for more. I just think someone needed to hear that today. But say more if you would.
Sure. You know, as I watched this encounter, one thing that I noticed is that Jesus faces the enemy head on. This is a battle. And he faces him on with truth. And number one, he declares that obedience to his Father is greater than satisfying a right now hunger. And That's what the enemy does. He comes at us to tempt us to say, here, let me lead you away from God's best, because I'm going to satisfy that right now hunger in you. But Jesus refused to be deceived by the one who cared less about him and more about the destruction of his soul. And so what I took away from that, I believe there's an invitation in every encounter as we watch Jesus. What I took away from this was that we are incredibly loved and made for more. So in those moments, we remind the enemy, but we also remind ourselves. You know, we meet that temptation head on. We call it what it is. And then we look in the mirror and we remind ourselves, I am incredibly loved by God himself, and I am made for more than this.
Would you speak to that person today who's right probably in the midst of indulgences that they know are bad for them? Maybe they're not addicted yet, but it's kind of a comfort that they go to again and again, and they're making accommodations for it. Maybe they hate themselves for it, but they hear this, and you think about when tempted, remind the enemy and yourself that you're incredibly loved and made for more. I think that vision of love and purpose is probably one of the most compelling reasons to say no to our flesh, you know?
It is. And, you know, we have all been at that place where we're tempted, whether that's tempted to lose self-control or we're tempted to just give up. Temptation looks, it has so many faces. And in that moment, to look at it, to confront it head on, to call it what it is without shame. You know, we're invited in Hebrews 4:16 to come into the presence of God without shame. And so when I walk into the presence of God and say, you know, here's this temptation. This is what it looks like, and this is what is speaking to me, Lord. Will you clear away the clutter of lies so that I can see the truth that I am incredibly loved and made for more? And Father, peel away the mask that makes this look appetizing or tempting, and let me count the cost of what the enemy wants to take away from me or take away from those I love by indulging in it.
Amen. Okay, I'm jumping ahead to day 5. This one says, titled, You Are Wanted, and it's based on the passage from Luke. It says, Jesus added, I can guarantee this truth. A prophet isn't accepted in his hometown. And the come with me invitation is, I seek to live at home within you and make my presence known. Talk about that whole idea that you're wanted, and the idea, though, that you won't always feel accepted by others.
Yes. Well, and, you know, this is actually Jesus' cry here. There are people looking at him and saying, you know, do a miracle, Lord. Prove yourself, you know, and not even Lord, Jesus, because they knew him as a carpenter's son. They had grown up with him. And this was more of mockery and taunting. And Jesus is there's grief here to say that if you would only know who I was, who I am, if you would only welcome me into your heart and into your life, you have no idea how much I want to make myself at home in you and the miracles that I could do if you would just believe. And so this is an invitation for us to throw open every area of our lives, our hearts, our past, our family, our doubts, our fears, and ask the Lord, make yourself at home in every part of who I am. I welcome you, Lord. I may not know what you want to do in me or through me. I may not have all the answers, but what I do say is you are the Messiah.
You're right. In this particular day, we don't have to wait until we're ready, because he is ready. Jesus makes himself welcome in each of us as he finds in us an open heart. I mean, it really is true. And Ephesians even says that he's able to do above and beyond all we could ever dare to ask or think, according to his work within us. It's like he wants to, he will do, but when we let him, when we invite him, say, take up residence, have more space in my life, show me if there's areas that I've shut off to you, you know? And what happens when he does that is his will for us is our best case scenario, isn't it?
It is. And one of the things that, as I was studying this out and just watching this, is to hear the longing in Jesus' voice. He seeks a place to abide. He seeks to live in us. And we love our faith. We really do. We love our faith. We love the comforts of our faith. We love the traditions of our faith, as did the people that were surrounding Jesus in that day. But there's a difference when we are invited to live our faith in a way that people see him in us, or that we are aware that he is in us, not just around us or someplace we go, but it is who we are.
Hmm. As you've dared to trust him in increasing measures over the years, Susie, how are you different? I mean, how do you suppose, what has he done where you know who you were? I mean, I know who I was all those years ago, and I know I have a sure. pretty good guess of how I would be if not for him. What about you?
Well, you know, when I look so far back, there's different chapters in our lives, and I started out a chapter as a girl growing up in an unbelieving, dysfunctional, abusive home. That's one chapter. But in this last few years, there's been a beautiful, even new chapter. I've always loved the Lord. But this new chapter that he's writing is to live my faith in such a way that I just, I'm changed by it. And the world is changed by it. Susie, we're promised that. Hmm. We're promised that we are not just church attenders or church followers. We're promised that the Holy Spirit lives in us in such a way that the world is impacted by that. And I think that's the chapter in my life right now, where over the last 4 years, instead of wrestling in my faith, I started resting in it. Hmm. I've started resting in the truth of what my faith says. I've started resting in the truth of who I am because of him. I started resting in the fact that I can come to him boldly without shame. And that in Matthew chapter, I believe it's 6:8, that there are times when I don't know what to do, I don't know what to say. But if I sit in his presence as honestly as I can, the focus is going to shift from me to him. And again, I will sense his grace and his direction and who he is. So there's just so much more to our faith than I think we ever realized.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's true. We are, you know, all of the riches of the heavenly realm belong to us. In other words, you know, we can't even fathom how loved, how provided for, how directed and corrected, and what he prevents and what he provides. I mean, at every turn, he delights in every detail of our lives. And if we could just right. know how much he is for us and with us, I think it would change so much about how we show up each day. I love that idea that instead of wrestling, you're starting to rest. And that's an act of faith in itself. Talking to my friend Susie Eller, her beautiful devotional is Come With Me, a year-long adventure in following Jesus. We're just walking our way through some of these great readings each day. We've got 3 copies. I'd love to get one into your hands. Just email, if you want in on the drawing, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put Come With Me or Follow Me and put your mailing address in the body of the email. We'll be back in a minute. Songs today that I use in my morning prayer time. Isn't that great? By Leland. Love that. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to my friend Susie Eller. You know her if you read her books as Suzanne Eller. This gorgeous devotional, Come With Me, published by Bethany House, is just beautiful. Wish I had 100 copies to give away because it's so great. Got 3, though. So you want to email, you can get in the drawing. This way, email me, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put your mailing address. Actually, that will go to Aaron, our wonderful producer, but we stay in touch about that stuff. Okay, Susie, let's talk about this entry, number 6. It's titled Nail-Scarred Hands. And you referenced the passage from Luke when the crowd forced Jesus out of the city, led him to a cliff, and intended to throw him off of it, which I try to imagine, especially if you're reading, as you were saying, like as the 13th disciple watching an up-close story unfold. I mean, they led him off to an edge of a cliff, intended to throw him off, but he walked right by them and he walked away. I want you to just talk about that moment for Jesus and what we can learn from it.
Sure. Well, just a short time earlier, these same crowds had been shouting his praises. they were enthralled with him. And then he began to teach them, and it went against what they wanted him to say. And so suddenly now they're pushing him to the edge of a crowd, and they're ready to push him off the cliff. And, you know, I used to think, Susie, that I wished that I knew what people thought. And now in the era of social media,
yeah.
I realize that was totally the worst thing that I could have ever wanted. And there are so many opportunities to debate, to try to force people to hear our side, or even especially if we feel that they're unjust against us personally, to make them see it our way. And in this case, Jesus simply, he leaves them at the edge of the cliff debating and fighting and in chaos, and he walks away. And it's not because he doesn't care about them. He has told them the truth, and he has lived his life in front of them, but they're not ready yet to accept what he has to say. So he doesn't spend even a breath trying to bring them away around to his way of thinking. He simply continues on doing the work of the Father that the Lord is asking, that his Heavenly Father is asking to do. And the invitation, again, looking for that invitation, Lord, what are you trying to teach me in my own relationships? What are you trying to teach me about this world of social media where we all put out everything that we think, sometimes in without any culture of respect, without any culture of love or reflecting you in any way? Lord, what are you teaching me? And that is number one, that a person's reaction to him, it really is a personal and spiritual battle. We don't know what they've walked through. We don't understand how they came to their conclusions. And so how we respond to them in that moment is really critical. And sometimes it's best to just keep going. Not that you don't care, but that you planted that seed and then you keep going and do what the Father told you to do. And then there are times that we do have that opportunity to share with them or to talk with them, but there is nothing ever, ever good going to come out of a brawl or out of chaos and conflict. Mm-hmm. And we have the opportunity to respond in a way that reflects Jesus.
So good. You write in that day, day's reading, Jesus doesn't try to sway them to believe. They aren't ready to hear what he has to say, so he plants a seed in their hearts and he keeps going. That seed will grow, root and sprout, or linger for another day. I'd love for you to just say one more word about the idea of trusting God with the outcomes and with people, especially when you're talking about people that are close to you.
Sure. We're seed sowers.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we want to be seed sowers. We want to be seed harvesters. We want to be the one that brings the rain. We want to tamp it into the soil and make sure, you know, jerk it out by the root before it's ready. It may be that the part that you play as a seed sower is to love that person unconditionally with some firm boundaries, because that's what's needed in the moment. You know, that's where we ask for the wisdom. Lord, show me my part to play, because I'm a seed sower. And I remember years ago, I was out walking in the street and I met a man, and he was clearly broken and just shattered, broken. And I remember talking to him, just feeling the Lord leading me to talk to him. And I began to just listen to his story. And at one point, I asked if I could pray with him. And when I finished, he was just weeping. And he said, you know, my grandma used to pray for me every day before I left the house. She raised me. And he said, she's dead and gone. And he said, nobody has prayed for me since she's left. Mm. And I realized in that moment that all those seeds that grandma planted were in that moment coming to a beautiful harvest. And I had the opportunity, calling over another friend, to sit with this man and to pray. And it wasn't my moment. I just happened to be on the scene. The Lord knew what he was doing. it was her seeds. It was a grandma's seeds that even, can you imagine that when at the end of her life, she probably looked at the Lord and said, Lord, are those seeds in vain?
Yeah.
And yet they weren't. They were buried. They were harvested in the heart of her grandson, and they would come to fruit one day.
Wow. Wow, somebody need to hear that. I have to read. This particular reading was so very rich. I got to read from this as well and have you comment. You write, as we follow Jesus, some will listen to our message. Others will respond negatively, while a few of us will be pushed to a high cliff. It's easy to plummet into discouragement, especially when the negative response comes from someone close to us. We stay on mission and we trust God, believing that He loves that person even more than we do, because that is truth. Our natural instinct is to make someone see it our way instead of letting that seed settle into their hearts. Let's trust as we partner with the Holy Spirit. Let's talk to God about that person as we wait and place them in Jesus' nail-scarred hands. As we do, the Holy Spirit works behind the scenes in spectacular ways. And that's where, Susie, we have to think long. Isn't that true? I mean, because the grandma had gone on and gone on to glory, but the story is still being written, and there's so much of restoration that we're not going to see till the other side, but that we've got to keep the faith.
I think that we're going to be blown away one day in eternity to see the things that seem like moments of despair or moments of frustration. And yet we held on to the Lord. We sowed that seed in a way that reflected Him. And later we get to see how that worked in their heart, or perhaps even in the heart of somebody else that we didn't even realize it was impacting.
Why? Talk about, if you would, as you've walked this journey as a wife and a mother, someone who's battled health stuff, you're an author and a speaker, and you meet people who are deeply broken. And so often, I mean, there are things that happen to us that are devastating, that break our hearts. I also know from my own experience, I've made my misery worse by the way that I've thought about it, what I've told myself about it, the worries I've had attached to it. Like, if this, then what about this for the future? I mean, give some wisdom, if you would, for how to stay in the grace moment when you're dealing with something that is heartbreaking.
You know, I think that we often look at, say, a difficult person that's bringing heartbreak to us, forgetting that we are sometimes that difficult person as well, you know? And so it goes back to the scripture that I said at the very beginning of this, which is seek the kingdom of God above all things. And that sounds very lofty, but I want to make that very practical. If I'm in a position to where I'm in the midst of a heartbreaking situation in my marriage, or I'm in a difficult place in a relationship with someone that I care about, stopping and pausing and asking the Lord, Father, what do you see that I don't hear? I mean, that's a really important question. What do you see that I don't? And Lord, is there something that you want me to do or not do in this moment? And then the third question is just to begin to say, Lord, all right, how do I place you first in this moment? Your heart, your thoughts, your word, your best for that person, your best for me. How do I put that first in this situation above my own feelings, which are screaming so loud? They're shouting down, you know, your word. How do I put you first above my fleshly nature, which wants to lash out or to withdraw or hide? And when we begin to look for Him first, we will find Him, and we won't always like what He tells us.
Boy, I want to review those. Oh, go ahead. Finish, please.
Yes. Yeah. No, it just, He shows up.
Well, I want to review those three questions again. Someone's driving going, I can't write this down, but I need to hear it again. So the first thing is, what am I seeing? What am I missing? Show me. How did you word that again?
Yeah. Help, Lord, show me what you see that I can't.
Yeah. Show me what you see that I can't.
Show me what you see that I can't, because there's something there. There's always the obvious. There's the obvious thing, the obvious anger, the obvious problem. But Lord, show me what is in the heart of this person, or the heart of this situation, or the heart of this battle that I can't see. And what that does, that equips us for the fight, because now we're fighting the real problem instead of the obvious distraction.
Or even the problem that we see through our pain filter. You know, that's why that's such an important question. Show me what you see that I can't see. And then you also said, help me, show me what I should or should not be doing right now. Did I get that right?
Right. Yeah. You know, give me wisdom and direction. And when we look at James 1:5, that asks us to ask for wisdom, you know, he generously offers to give us wisdom. When you study that out, that's actually, he's strongly suggesting that we seek wisdom from him. It's not like, hey, if you want wisdom, I got some, you know, I strongly suggest that you ask for wisdom when you need it. I will generously give it to you in that moment.
Fantastic. So help me see what you see, what maybe something I'm missing. Help me to do or not do what needs to be done. And then how do I put you first? How do I put your will first in this situation more than my emotions, my tendency to defend, or as you said, whatever you're, sometimes people get big, sometimes they get small, but we have these default reactions. Boy, that is fantastic. Oh, I love that. That is a nugget somebody needed today. I think we're going to pause here and take our final break. When we come back, we'll walk through more of the content from Susie's amazing book, Come With Me. It's a devotional. It's a year-long adventure in following Jesus. As you listen to Susie talk, this is how she writes. And if you're looking for her at, you know, at your bookstore, you'll look for Suzanne Eller. Susie and I are old friends. I can't help it that she's Susie to me. What can I say? Hey, we'll be back in just a minute. Great music out there, don't you think? Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a really beautiful, wonderful conversation with my friend Susie Eller. Again, you know her as Suzanne Eller. We're celebrating the release of her devotional, Come With Me. It's a year-long adventure in following Jesus. We're just reading through some of the content of this great book and talking about it. And Susie walked through the gospel, specifically the gospel of Luke, just followed Jesus there and just wrote about treasures that she found. This one's titled Bottom of Empty. And the scripture is Luke 4:42. In the morning, he went to a place where he could be alone. The crowd searched for him. When they came to him, they tried to keep him from leaving. Talk about that. And the little call out quote is, pour in as much as you pour out, my beloved. It won't feel familiar at first, but soon you'll see the beauty. Say more about that one, if you would.
Sure. Well, in this scene with Jesus, he is at a place to where he's been hit physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And emotionally, his cousin John is in prison, and he's there unfairly, and his fate does not look good. And then physically, he has been with the crowds all day long, and he's been praying. And spiritually, he has poured out to the point of exhaustion. And I find myself there often, Susie. I think that most people listening understand what that feels like to be at a place where you are spiritually and physically and emotionally exhausted. But what we tend to do is we tend to keep on going. And yet Jesus pulled away, and he went alone with his Heavenly Father. And I had this misconception in mind. This was a light bulb moment for me as I stayed in this passage for almost a week, is that Jesus was the Son of God. He's intimately connected as the Trinity, and yet he sought a long time with God. And I think that here we are, as human as we can be, and yet we think somehow that we can just keep on going and not come to the bottom of empty. And I have smacked into it so hard at times that it's not pretty.
Yeah, I mean, truly, I want to read this from that particular day. Time out from people and time alone with God renews our strength. It alters our attitude. It allows us to love and serve from a place of rest rather than pouring out from an unfilled vessel. Is the jar empty? Let's take it to Jesus, for he graciously promises to fill us back up. And this is just the truth that, you know, we don't have an endless supply. Jesus does. And somehow, some way, we need to respect our limits and then go to the God who has no limits. And I think so often we claim the promises that he is this limitless God and wants to do above and beyond all we could dare to ask or think, and somehow think we're the ones to pull that off. And our limits are a gift to us, and our dependence is an invitation to us, isn't it?
It really is. And you know, when you're writing something, what can happen is when I was writing these 260 days, the way it's set up is 5 days, take a weekend of rest, live it, let it soak in, and then go back in on Monday. But as I was writing this 260 days, I could almost get myopic, which just simply means that all I could see was what was right in front of my face. And then when it was published and I had the chance to sit, I just wept. Because now, rather than writing it, I was getting to be refreshed in it and to walk with him again. And on this page, I drew a tree, and I drew those roots deep, because Jeremiah 17:8 says, they're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. And I love that image of, even though that barren heat comes or that wilderness place or the winds blow, that if those roots are deep in him, then our leaves are still green. We still produce fruit. The reminder of that is that it's not my roots. My roots are shallow. My roots burn up like, you know, just with a puff. But his roots in my life, they sustain me.
Yeah. Amen. I have too many awkward pauses after you finish because I'm sitting here thinking about what you're saying, but I am on live radio, so I need to keep an eye on that. So good. So good, Susie. Well, here's one titled Waiting, and Luke 5:3 is the reference verse. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And the come with me little line here says, let me show you what I have for you in this time of waiting. And the reason I picked this one, Susie, is I hear from our listeners, there's lots of people in the not yet. And the more I walk with the Lord, I'd say we're always in some kind of not yet. If we're walking by faith and paying attention to our sphere of influence and the needs around us, you know, we may be standing on some answers to prayer, but we're waiting for other answers to prayer. But for some, that not yet, it's excruciating. So what advice do you have for the person who's in that time of waiting?
Well, first I want to empathize with them, because, you know, there's just times you want to reach through and just pull them close and say, I get it. I get it. This is so hard. And it feels like that God whispered a promise in your heart and that it's never, ever going to come. And yet, what I have found is I've walked with Jesus now over almost 40 years, which is crazy, is that sometimes waiting is part of the plan. Sometimes, you know, sometimes waiting is not. Sometimes waiting is because, you know, we're afraid to take a step, or but waiting is not idle time. Waiting is part of the plan when we find the gifts waiting in that period of waiting. And that was your awkward pause. That was my awkward sentence. Richard and I moved to where we live right now about 4 years ago. And I sensed the Lord leading us here 3 years before that. And I had this mindset that when Jesus says go, that he means it's all going to unfold tomorrow, and the plan is going to be perfect, and there's going to be no obstacles. And yet, for 3 years, every obstacle that could come at us did. And we would put our hands across the table and pray and say, Lord, are you sure we heard you? And what I realize now in hindsight, looking back, is those 3 years were a time of trust, and that God was doing a work in us, in our marriage, and in my faith walk, so that when I did come here, that was not wasted time at all. That was rich time where I trusted God and I learned from him and I was filled by him.
How would you say you were different and prepared even when the time came, when the door finally opened and God said, okay, now it's time, let's do this? How were you different?
Because I have a 1 year, 5 year, 10 year plan, Gigi. It's the way God has wired me. I have it all mapped out. I'm sitting in my home office now just having this amazing chat with you. And I can look over at my whiteboard and I can see my plans for the next 2 months. And it's the way God has wired me. I'm a type B with a type A strain. Hmm. And it's a strange combination. But what I had to learn during that season of waiting is, number one, to live where I live. Instead of trying to live where I thought I was supposed to be, you know, always thinking about that, always planning, is, Lord, I know you spoke this to me, and it's not coming to fruition in the timeline I thought it would. Help me live where I live. Help me live fully where I am today, because you still have a plan for me right where I'm at. I mean, it's not going to just suddenly unfold when I arrive at the destination you said I was going to be at. Help me live where I live. And that is what I believe comes out of those waiting seasons, is we release and surrender our plans. God's not going to quit making me a planner. That's how he's wired me. But his plans are higher than mine.
Yeah, you know, the tendency is when you get a sense, when he drops a vision into our hearts or a sense of next place, that we leave before we leave. And I think it takes all kinds of character to stay and steward and not give up faith, not, you know, keep your peeking up at the horizon, but stay faithful in the now. That takes an incredible amount of maturity, doesn't it?
It really does, but it's also how we produce maturity.
Yeah.
Is you know, it's part of that character building process. And I know that there are times that I have looked at the Lord and said, okay, I've got all the character I need today. You know, Lord, I've been in this place for a really long time.
Yeah.
Let's move on to phase two. And yet, trusting him means that there are gifts in the waiting and that we are invited to live where we live fully as that plan unfolds.
Boy, again, friend, somebody needed to hear that today, that there are gifts in the waiting. So live where you live as God's plan unfolds. Susie, that could actually be on a billboard. That's fantastic. As we get ready to wrap and pray, I just want to read from that day's reading. Waiting is not an idle part of our walk with Jesus. For some of us, it's a time of rest. For others, he's asking that we pause long enough to clearly hear his instructions. When we are in a season of waiting, let's take our eyes off the finish line. We are on his heart. He is aware of where we are. Waiting is never wasted, and it just might be where God's greatest work takes place in us. Susie, you are just such a treasure. I just love you so very much. And as we get ready to pray, I'm wondering if you'd pray for that person who's right now in the waiting room.
Sure. Lord, I just thank you for my brother and my sister who is in a place, Father, where they've heard your voice, and they know it. They know your voice, Father. And yet, just the uncertainty of it all has shaken and caused doubt. I pray, Lord Jesus, that right now this would be a moment where they know that they know that they know that your word is never void, that, Lord, what you speak over their heart has not gone away. And in this day and all the days leading to that destination, it's all part of the race. And, Lord, you're running it with him or her, and you're teaching and you're training and you're showing your love for them. I just ask that today they sense and feel that, Lord, that you are with them, and that they would find the gift in the waiting today, Father. In your name I pray. Amen.
Susie, I pray you'll come back and join us again. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Susie.
Always great to chat with you. Suzanne Eller, my guest today. Title of her book, Come With Me, A Year-Long Adventure in Following Jesus. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. You can find a podcast of this program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Be sure to share this conversation with a friend who would be strengthened by it today. You can do that by clicking the share button under the audio link. Take some time to browse our website as well for new articles and content about growing in your faith in Jesus Christ. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.